Three, two, one. Well, welcome back to the Brian Goff Show, presented by Pinned Golf. I just used my Pinned Ace rangefinder, which you can get right now at pinnedgolf.com. I used it in a tournament today, and it was, I mean, just that much more a validation for this rangefinder that costs you under $200 when you use the promo code Brian Goff. When someone had a Bushnell next to me on the tee at my tournament, and I used my rangefinder from Pinned, the Ace, we got the same number. I wouldn't even say we got the same number. We got the same number within half a yard, okay? And that's just, to me, it's like, why are we spending $400 or $500 on a rangefinder when we could be spending that on other cool things like, you know, more golf swag, new golf clubs. I don't know. You got to get a rangefinder. Get one. Get the Pinned Golf Ace with slope. Couldn't use it today in the tournament, but it's got slope. A really cool feature. Pinnedgolf.com. Use the promo code BrianGoff. As I said, played in a golf tournament today. Really good one. Florida Open qualifier with the FSGA at Amelia National Golf Club. I'll get into that in just a minute. I want to give you my grades on my bag. You know, like, hey, this is this equipment pod. So I want to talk about, you know, not just like my game and the grades of my game. It's more like my clubs. Like, how do my clubs perform? Let's grade those and let's at least, granted, the answer is about the same, right? But kind of feel like you would rather hear like, hey, how did the driver perform? Because I just put a new driver in play. So before we get to all that, I did want to touch up on some equipment things because, you know, we've been very, very blessed, very fortunate at the shop to be extremely busy. And there's been a lot of really good things coming in and out of the bay, you know, new shafts. I have to touch on the new shafts from Acura, the FX 3.0 series. We've been having such a good run with these things. It's just on another level. The whole series, you know, we're getting people into the driver's shaft, the fairway wood shaft, the hybrid shaft, all in the same bag, and seeing the performance and the results kind of stick with people. So definitely just kind of urging you, if you go get fit, definitely if you're fitter, if it's not me, you know, it's not one of the obvious ones that has Acura, you know, make sure you're trying the FX 3.0 series. Is just really, really good performing shafts here that, you know, I just can't get enough of. Great price point too, as always, from Acura. It's a pretty good price point unless you're getting into that new RPG. It's gold, silver. One of them we'll just call platinum. Faux platinum, whatever it is. Just a, you know, there was a joke like, can I just get like the faux gold one? The fool's gold, please? Because of the RPG, the new one. Like $550 or something astronomical like that. But that, and then we have like fully stocked here at the shop a bunch of driver heads. There's tons, but we have a lot of Callaway Epic Speed Triple Diamond 90-degree heads. Got like a few of those left, and we can always get more until they're gone. Once they're gone, they're gone, meaning once Callaway runs out of them, they're gone. And then we got, let's see, one or two of the Max LS Triple Diamond 90-degree head. So if you need to get in on that, holler at us, please. Mel has been working extremely hard just in like the last month minimum on our website, briangolf.golf. And she's actually got it to where basically you're going to go shop. So most of the time you'd hit me up on Instagram. You'd say, hey, Brian, what's the run for this build? What's this? We're just going to send you a link. Go build it out right here. Boom. Put it in your shopping cart. Pay right there. It's all done. Just like any other golf club company, you're going to just go to the site and you're going to be able to buy gear straight from us, straight from the site. Most of the time I'm going to end up sending you there. It's just obviously going to be way, way better for you when it comes to, let's just say the organization, right? Like we do a pretty damn good job. Every once in a while, a DM slips through the cracks. Emails, not so much. We do pretty good with emails. You know, we have a good unread system. We have the same thing with Instagram, but sometimes we get so many messages on IG that, you know, it slips through the cracks. So anyway, this site's going to make it so much easier for you and for us to see your order, remember your order, not have to wait for us to send you an invoice and a quote and all of this. You're just going to boom, bam, boom. It's all going to be done. And then you're going to get your sticks in a timely manner, which turnaround times are getting better throughout the industry. Believe it or not, it is getting better. I know it doesn't seem like it, other than like Titleist Vokey wedges. Everything's coming pretty quick. shafts, some shafts, steel shafts are getting very difficult. It's crazy, right? You think the most basic thing, like steel shafts, they'd be easy to get, but we got a bunch of shafts coming in inventory just because we're so tired of waiting. You know, they go back order, they come in, and they're back order, and they come in, they're back order. So trying to fix that a little bit by just stocking the most popular sets. You know, the Project XLZs, Dynamic Gold, X100 Tour Issue, S400 Tour Issue. And I'm talking about full sets, not just like, I mean, I've got, you know, X100 8 irons for wedges in stock, like deep stock. I've got S400s for wedges, deep stock, in stock. KBS 610 wedges in stock. Obviously, I mean, these are just things that we're consistently doing. So we've got a lot of that in stock. But turnaround time's been really good. But just as, you know, we were just catching up with some Titleist stuff, they dropped a new iron line. So got the new T-Series. Is that what they call them? T100, T100S, T200, T300. They got a new driving iron coming. But I tell you what, it's funny how many messages I got on the T100 and T200. They were very much like, hey, those look like Apex Pros. And I'm not going to say anything. Maybe they do. But there was a time where everything looked like the PXG or everything looked like the Ping or, you know, everything looked like the P790, which, by the way, a new P790 is coming out. So there's a lot of things coming. This is a really cool, interesting time where some things are going to start trickling in. So no more of the current P790, they gone. No more of the current Titleist T-Series lineup, they gone, sold out. Only way you're going to find those is if you go find a stock set somewhere on the shelf. Let me know if you find some of those, because I think they're kind of hard to come by right now anyways, just in general. But a lot of cool stuff coming out. You know, it's the years flying by. It's amazing what's going on with equipment. But I thought we were going to kind of have like a little dead period here where we're really not doing too much. And we've been super, super busy. So extremely thankful for that. Keeping me busy. Lots to build. In the meantime, for my sanity, I have been sneaking out in the mornings, walking nine, playing nine holes. I put up a little video of me playing nine holes, hit nine greens, and had nine birdie putts. And the video is actually, it's obviously not my most viewed because it doesn't have anything to do with equipment or whatnot. But, you know, it's cool to see. It was like people definitely, if you watched it, you might have been one of those people that were like, I want more of this kind of stuff. So I'm going to slowly start doing that for YouTube and Instagram, you know, just like posting just golf and talking about golf as opposed to just always doing deep dives and equipment. It's really, you know, deep dives and equipment, it's really not my thing. As weird as that sounds, like I like the natural conversations, but all the time, like if you want a true head-to-head, man, go to TXG. You're not going to see anything different from my results, really. I mean, maybe, but if it's not like my bag, I'm really not going to review things. I'm just not going to do that. There's already great people out there like Ian, TXG, you know, throw Rick Shields, Peter Finch, Mark Crossfield, My Golf Spy, everything they do, all of that. They're already all doing a great job for you, the consumer. So I don't need to go fill that void, right? So forgive me for that if that's like what you want from me, but that's just not what it's going to be, you know? I'm going to talk a lot about equipment. I'm going to talk a lot about my game and my equipment and how it pertains to me. And then, you know, how maybe you can relate and take that. Like, I just switched drivers. I alluded to it a little bit. I did my What's in the Bag video. Obviously, that was a great video as far as, you know, the actual content, what was in the video. Wasn't like a Scorsese or anything like that as far as the production, but it was a fun video to do. But I've already had things change in there. And a little bit of it was because after that, you know, one, I filmed that with Mel. Mel was at the golf course with me for the first time this year. It's July. She was with me for the first time this entire year. And I was like, you know what? I need to do a What's in the Bag video, and this is how I want to do it. And if you're going to be the only person here, then this is going to be the only time for me to do it with you, is basically what I'm getting at. So that's why I did the What's in the Bag video. Since then, I've changed out my fairway wood that was the longest tenured club in my bag, the Sim Max Rocket, the first gen Sim Max Rocket. But I put a Sim 2 13.5, you know, the adjustable, the tie head, the titanium head, and I put that in the bag. 1 degree sleeve. So 13.5 set on 14.5 just to square up that face a little bit. Put my Hazardous Smoke Blue RDX straight from my SimMax Rocket into that fairway wood. So I got that, boom, all settled, ready to go. Love that club, performs so well. I just honestly, it goes so much higher than my SimMax. That's kind of why I put it in the bag. And look, I've hit some great shots with that SimMax, but this Sim 2 titanium is just so easy to hit. I don't know if it's the titanium. I don't know if it's the, you know, 80 gram plate on the sole. I have no idea, but I love it. Still love the Hazardous Smoke Blue RDX in that fairway wood. So that's that. Everything else, you know, for the most part is the same, except I did throw some Apex MB 7, 8, and 9 irons in my bag. So I've got the Apex Pro 4, 5, 6. And I don't know if that's a permanent thing or not. You know, my wife saw our bill from Callaway. I was like, oh, you ordered yourself some golf clubs, right? I'm like, yeah, I did actually. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that, like, I'm just kind of testing them to see. But so far, so good. I played with him in a tournament today, and the clubs did not disappoint. And when I played with him yesterday in a tournament at the club at Tim Aquana, that too, they performed really well. So I just needed a little bit more ability to flight the ball. That's what I was looking at. It wasn't like it was hard with the Apex Pro. It was just harder to believe and harder to trust because those things do want to just go up. So I've left 6, 5, and 4 in the Apex Pro in the bag. And, you know, really, I don't see any reason for those to go anywhere. And, you know, I don't know. I got a 6-iron MB just sitting there. If I do decide to get it, you know, get one in the bag in MB. But for the most part right now, I think I'm good on that. And then my driver, that's been the biggest one. The Sim 2 that I had was amazing. All right, I got the Hazardous Smoke IM10 low spin, the low spin version. So this is not the mid spin stock version that you would get in a Callaway driver. This is a low spin version. So think of the Hazardous T1100, the chrome one with the lime green or slime green, if you will, Hazardous logo, not the Hulk, not the, you know, PVD green, but the chrome one with the green lettering. It's kind of based off that. It's a shaft I used in the past, and I put that in that Sim 2, and it was amazing. But what I started to notice is when I started to get a little off, just a little, because I was swinging it so well, it was aim left, bang it, know the ball is going to fall a little right. I could count on it, but all of a sudden, it started to get a little squirrely, and I started kind of wiping it out to the right. And when I'm talking about a wipe, I'm talking it would start 10 yards right of my intended target, and it would just keep cutting, keep like just peeling. And then next thing you know, I'm like 25 yards offline, and that's rough. It's hard to play golf, especially on a golf course where, you know, it's our course, you can get away with some wipes, but you're chipping out of the trees. I know a lot of you that play up north and in the Midwest, like you're used to the chip out life. That's how you play. Down in Florida, most of the time when you miss a fairway, you aren't chipping out, you're dropping. You're reaching into your bag, you're getting another ball. So for me, it was like, all right, let me get this triple diamond Epic Speed. When I first saw the Epic Speed, the original, like the retail head, the basic, normal, off-the-shelf head, I was like, this is an amazing looking driver. It's exactly what I want a driver to look like. My Lord, I want to play it. And so I hit the Epic Speed and I just hit high spinny draws. Huge draws. They were hooks, all right? So with that, I said, all right, well, that's off. And that's when I ended up committing to Sim 2, and I got it dialed in really good. But those low spin bullets are amazing, and they go 320 in the air when you nuke it. But when you're not on, it is extremely unforgiving. So I said, all right, goodbye. Let me try the triple diamond. Try the triple diamond. Spent some time dialing it in. I got it set. It's a 9-degree head, 14-gram weight up front, 2-gram weight in the back, kind of like how the old Epic Flash Sub-Zero would come. I think mine came with 2 8-gram weights, and I went 14 and 2 on them. And then I got the sleeve set -1 neutral, and I hit this damn thing so high. So you know, it's not like 8 degree. I was playing my Sim 2 8 degree at 9 degree, and I'm playing this at 8 degree, but it goes so high, and the ball flight's so good. But my misses, friends, I would argue that I hit it. If I told you that I could step right up right now on the podcast, if there was video on me and hit my Sim 2, I guarantee you first couple balls, it'd fly 300 easily. This epic speed triple diamond, I would argue, flies 290. It's 10 yards behind, and that's fine. As evidence in the tournament I played it in, the last two tournaments I played it in, today and yesterday. I'll get into that. But I just think what I was looking for is what we'll call spin forgiveness or spin robustness, maybe. And that's more about when I miss it and it spins really low, is that really low 2,000 or is that really low 1,500 or 1,600? Because with the Sim 2, it was getting down the way I had it set up. And look, this is on me. I had it set up to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted the ball to be as low spinning as possible. Well, the problem with that is it's very hard to play tournament golf that way. And I had two tournaments coming up, and I said, you know what? I'm losing confidence. Let me switch it up, dialed it in. Now I would argue that I spin it 22 to 27, where with the Sim, it was very, you know, 1,700 to 2,200. And if I sliced it, it was 2,700. You know, you can't control a 2,700, you know, push cut or whatever very well. So I got rid of that. Whereas, so with this one, instead of it sliding off, this one just holds its line. It'll curve, but it hits a certain point where it's like, all right, I'm done curving. We're going to fall. And that was so key for me in the last couple of days, you know, just keeping that ball in front of me. Made a couple meh swings, made a couple good swings and missed a fairway, but made a couple meh swings and was never out of the hole. It was unbelievable. I will sacrifice 10 yards for that. I will also, if I need to beat it, I'll beat it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll swing on it and I'll still get great results. So Amelia National Golf Club, great golf course. Amelia Island's up a little north. It was maybe like an hour away from the shop here in Jacksonville, just a little north of Jack's. Great golf course. It's Tom Fazio design. I like a good Fazio design. So, you know, that was all good. But I went inside unseen. I played this golf course maybe 10 years ago when I first moved to Jacksonville. I played it. It was like $50 member for a day or whatever. I didn't remember hardly anything. I remembered maybe the 17th hole, and I remember playing very bad golf at the time. You know, this was 10, 12 years ago. I was barely getting back into the game before getting back out of the game again. So anyway, the return to Amelia Island. This is the Florida Open qualifier. Now, I played in the Jacksonville Amateur qualifier, shot 75 at Seminole Legacy Course, didn't make it, missed it by three, was what it was. You know, it's look, part of it, right? I mean, you're sitting here trying to catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle, a good day. And I've learned from each thing. Each tournament I played in this year, I've gotten better at each time. That was the whole point of this year, is getting better at tournament golf. And really, Gabe Gallucci, I think that's how you say his name. His name's Gabe. He's on YouTube, and he's doing a lot of tournament talk. He's talking about his tournaments, and he talks faster than I could ever talk. Like, he's a mile a minute. But he's been talking a lot about tournament golf. And it's a different monster. So if you're like Gabe or you're like me and you've said, you know what, I want to focus more on tournament golf. I know COVID has got a lot of people into golf, into this part of golf, right? Because tournaments have still been going on a local level in a lot of places. You know, they put procedures in place for tournaments to happen. And the FSGA has done a great job of this. And so I've played in more tournaments this year than really ever. And, you know, I'm seeing it in my scores. It's getting better and better. So I didn't make it into the Florida Open, which would have been really cool, but I did put together a great round. I shot 71, which was one under. Started out with a birdie, had a couple bogeys in the next two holes, followed up with a birdie, made a bogey, then made a birdie. So I was even par after the front nine. And on this, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, I mean, you got to make birdies. I went into it, you know, I said that I was playing with house money, right? So I said, look, if I get into this, I'll go to Naples and I'll play in this tournament. We'll get a little vacation with the family real quick. And, you know, whatever. If I go make a bunch of birdies, it's fine. I'm going to shoot either 69 or 79 is kind of what I said. And I tried to shoot 69. It still wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, with all that kind of being said, I'm going to play in the Jacksonville Amateur. So I'm pumped about that. You know, that's why I meant I was playing with house money is I had a tournament I was going to play in and I could only really play in one of them. So even if I made the Florida Open, I have to bow out of the Jacksonville Amateur. So my wife isn't happy that I'm playing in the Jacksonville Amateur because we're not going to fit on Friday and Saturday, but this is really important to me and I want to play in it. I've never played in the Jacksonville Amateur. So there's no qualifier. It's two rounds and then a cut. And then you play hopefully the final round. So hopefully my game's in good enough shape to do that. But so I made the tournament even and then I birdied number 10. And then I just had a run where I just thought I really, in the next five holes, I had a great up and down for a par on a par three. But other than that, I mean, I had four legitimate chances to make four birdies in my next five holes. And I didn't make a single birdie, but then dropped a bomb on 16, staked a shot on 17, three putted, my only three putt of the day. And then, you know, ended up finishing one under when it's all said and done. And, you know, that was good enough for what, like a tie for six or something. I mean, we got guys, this is a professional and amateur event. So two pros went 65, 66, my buddy. And, he was on a podcast, Mike Smith for College Golf. If you remember the For College Golf podcast, that was a good one. He lit it up, had three birdies in his final four holes, ended up shooting four under 68. So he got through. And, so 68 was the number. Could I have done that? Absolutely. I made five birdies and four bogeys. So how do we clean up those four bogeys? We do that with more experience and kind of awareness, knowing, hey, remember when we made these swings with these clubs? That's, dude, we're not going to do that again. We're going to commit to this because I was just kind of, you know, two holes early on, I'll get to it. I just kind of wiped a couple and I'm like, what am I doing? Not doing that again, right? And I didn't the whole rest of the round. So, you know, if anything, I hit way better. I mean, I hit the right misses. Let's say that. I hit the right misses. They were good. But I wanted to get my clubs like tournament grades, right? And I could talk about like driving or my driver, but I'm just going to kind of bunch it all together. My, you know, I hit 10 of 14 fairways. Maybe two of them I missed were kind of like, you know, fairway bunker. But the other two I missed, they were, you hardly can say that I missed them. I had a just as good of a lie in the first cut where I was because the rough was so light, you know, in the rough that I would have in the fairway. And then on the 18th hole, I just blew it through the fairway, you know, whatever, a few yards, and I had a great lie. So, you know, it's like, meh. So I'm going to give my driving an A-. And the only way I could say that it could be better is to get an A, like get an A plus is if I hit every fairway. And the fact that I missed a couple, you know, even though I missed very well and even made a birdie or two, like on the fourth hole after going birdie, bogey, bogey, I birdied, you know, from a fairway bunker, you know? So it's like one of those things where did it really kill me? The next hole, I hit my three wood into a fairway bunker, made par, had a legit run at birdie. So, you know, things like that, like A minus on the driving. Irons, I'm actually going to give a B just because I did miss those few greens early in my round on two and three from the middle of, well, one was fairway and one was par three. It was a 9-iron and an 8-iron. And granted, it was like an awkward yardage and I was trying to hit a shot with my 9-iron and maybe, just maybe, that was part of it. But it was identical shot, wipe, two wipes in a row on those. And, you know, the fact that I made those swings, those uncommitted swings, with the short irons, you know, it was an 8-iron, 9-iron, led to back-to-back bogeys on two and three. Those two holes are really weighing heavily on my mind right now. So, you know, with that, B on the irons. All these grades, by the way, are way better than any grade I've given myself in any tournament. Seriously. Wedges, I think that's really important. So wedges from 30 yards all the way to 140 yards. So basically a little 30-yard pitch from around the green, you know, like not a chip shot, really like 15, 20 yards off the green to 140 yards, which is what I hit my pitching wedge, A you know, I mean, for the most part, I would say that I've wedged it like a pro lately and gave myself a ton of opportunities, and it's really becoming a strength of my game. So I'm going to give my wedges an A, my wedge game 30 yards to 140 yards an A, but my wedges greenside, that is like a C minus. And I'm going to be, you know, really rough on me here just because there's a couple shots I left out there that were just kind of average pitches. I would say like a couple of them I putted, and I should have. I definitely should have. But I did that also because I was putting really well and I didn't want to risk it with a wedge. And a couple of times I just didn't get up and down and, you know, whatever. I missed six greens and I got up and down three times. That's okay. But I want it to be better. But one of the things that I was thinking of, you know, overall, I practice everything here. Like I practice everything at the shop. I practice my putting, and then I go on the golf course, I practice my putting. I practice my driving, I practice my iron play, my wedge, full wedge distances and 40-yard shots, 50-yard shots, et cetera, et cetera. I can't do that right now because our club, the short game area, has kind of been shut down all year. And the range has been shut down. So for some people, that's a really, really big deal. For me, granted, I've got GC Quad and I've got our shop. I'm able to get away with it. But the short game area is closed. And so the only time I really get outdoor practice is during my round of golf that I'm playing. And, you know, we're like in the morning when I go play nine, it's busy. It's busy enough to where I can't just drop a few balls and hit some chips, you know, and things like that. So with that being said, I haven't been able to practice it much. Getting away 50%, you know, short game, get up and down, whatever you call it, you know, off the green saves, missed green saves, par saves, I don't know. So with that, you know, I got to give it a C because I'm just so average. I'd like to get, I'd say 3 out of 4, right? 7 out of 10, something like that. Give me some 70% ratio. So I'm going to give my my greenside wedges a C minus. And then the putter gets an A. A putter. Oh my gosh. This Cobra Agera. Now, granted, I need you to know I've got this Cobra Supernova with a sick face, a sick Stability Tour Polar, the new white Stability Tour from Breakthrough Technology, your Breakthrough Golf Technology. It looks so cool. I want to play it so bad. But this Agera, so good. I putt so well with it. The distance control, I don't know if it's the MOI. I don't know if it's being face balanced and just more stable and fitting me better, or if it's the sick face technology, the DLT, the descending loft tech. But my distance control is amazing. And I think also I got to attribute that to pacing off my putts. So I've maybe said it in the podcast before, but I'm going to say it again. I started pacing off my putts. And so what this does for me is it allows me to kind of get a neutral feeling on the putting green. Before round, I go, all right, let's find what 10 paces feels like. Let's find what 20 paces feels like. And then once I got those feelings, I head to the course and I have the in-between. I can fill the holes in between. And obviously if it's, you know, 17 paces and it's uphill, I know I can almost hit this like a 20, you know, a 20 pace putt, things like that. I think Bryson paces off his putts, but that's been really good for me. Teamed up with everything on that putter. So I'm going to give that putter a lot of credit. I definitely, you know, I line up my ball the same that I have since the Florida Amateur. I started lining up my putts with that. Got that putter in play for the Florida Amateur a couple weeks ago. Florida Amateur qualifier, that is. And then switched to the claw all in like the last month. Last month. So it's been really good. It's been really good. Best month of putting in my life. So I'm going to give myself an A. You know, I made a few putts that I shouldn't have. Like the bomb, the 40-footer I made on, is it 16? I just got done missing a 10-footer on 15 for birdie. So I missed that one. I should have made it. I made the 40-footer. I shouldn't have made it, but I did. Then I 3-putt, missed a 4-footer for par on 17. I should have never left myself 4 feet. It's so funny. Nick Matthew, who's been on the podcast talking, you know, about caddying. He caddied for me again. And, you know, we were talking about taking a putt back. Like, what can we take back? And I was like, man, I just want the one back on 17. He's like, the short putt? And I'm like, no. I want the birdie putt back. Like, it was just a misread on the speed. It was downhill, down grain, and it didn't get anywhere near the hole. I came up 4 feet short. And I don't think I was nervous. There was one time where I mentioned, yeah, I'm just nervous. But I don't even know if that was actually me being nervous or me just saying that out loud to get that out of the way and then go, screw this. I'm not doing this again. I'm not wiping a shot again. I think it was on one of my iron shots or whatever. So, you know, like with that being said, you know, you're going to have some putts that you're supposed to make and you miss, and you're going to have some that you miss that, you know, or you're supposed to miss and you make them, like a 20 footer for par on 18 to finish my round under par, which I really wanted to do because I was 2 under going into 17 with a 15 footer for birdie. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, we're going to shoot 69. We're going to go birdie. Or we're going to go birdie on in this one, and we're going to make a par at the last, and we're going to shoot 69 at worst. And that didn't happen. So, you know, putting's going to get an A. I depend on my putting. It's very, very good. Hopefully, when the time is right, the putts that I'm supposed to miss go in, and the putts I'm supposed to make go in. And hopefully it happens in a couple weeks at the Jacksonville Amateur. It's at March Landing in, you know, Jacksonville Beach, Ponte Vedra area. So it's going to be a real good tournament. A lot of good players from Jacksonville in it. And all amateurs. So I don't got to worry about the guys that are playing on the 4-May tour and whatnot. For me? I don't know what it is. The 4-May tour is like, instead of the Canada tour, the McKenzie tour, they got this going on for those guys because they can't get into Canada to play. So they made a whole nother tournament series, which I think is amazing that these guys are playing in. And, you know, some of these, like the guy that shot 7-under 65, Austin Hitt, dude's a stick, just graduated from North Carolina. Like he's a Tar Heel. And then he goes out and shoots 65. But he's a pro Peter Kellerman, Pete Kellerman. I think he's a stud in Jacksonville golf. So with that, he shot 66. And then, like I said, my buddy Mike Smith shot 68. Another amateur shot 69. And then a couple of us, Tom Mertzall, who actually I fit all his stuff and built all his stuff. Hopefully he's still gaming all that. He shot 71 as well. So a couple of amateurs ahead of us. But, hey, had a good week. Had a good day. Had a good weekend, too. Tim Aquana, we did a little 4th of July party, shindig, little tournament. That was good. I shot 73 and made a stupid bogey on my second to last hole to do that. So I've been playing really good, trending really good. I think I did the averages because I'm into this right now. I think I'm averaging just under 74 in my last 11 rounds. And that is good for me because my I would tell you, even when I'm shooting a 69 or a 70, that there's a 79 and an 80 in there. And I would end up averaging 76 or something like that. Or I'd shoot, you know, couple under par one day, and then I'd shoot 10 over the next day. So hopefully we can ride this a little bit, play some good golf, you know, inspire you to get out there, play a little bit of your own competitive golf, and, you know, do the things you got to do to get better at this game, because it's not easy. So thank you so much, as always, for listening. I do hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. It's obviously such an important holiday. I just watched National Treasure. That was on TV. And it just felt like so crazy with the Declaration of Independence and 1776. And like, here we are, 4th of July. It's like, this is really cool. This is really cool. It's weird. We're sitting at the club watching fireworks on the river. They get like a barge out there on the river, and you're sitting there looking at those fireworks, and you do get this sense of pride, right? We're right by the military base. It's amazing. You know, like every morning, 8 o'clock, the national anthem plays, you stop, you salute the flag. It's unbelievable atmosphere, but we're watching these fireworks, and you just get this sense of pride, and you're looking up at them like, man, these fireworks are so lame, but this is so cool. You know, like, fireworks are kind of lame, right? But they're not when they're done right, not when they're done on the river. It's a pretty cool atmosphere. So hopefully you had your own little you know, special weekend, 4th of July. And a couple of things coming up here on the podcast that I'm excited about to share. We've got an NFL kicker coming on the podcast. I'm not going to say the names, all right? And I've alluded to it before. We've got an Olympian. She is now an Olympian. So I can also say we've got an LPGA winner coming on the podcast and an Olympian. She's going to be playing in her first Olympics representing her country. Won't say who or what country that is, but that's coming up in the next 2 weeks. On the Brian Golf Show, presented by Pin Golf. You can get your Ace Range Finder for less than $200. And it's, I think it's like 170 shipped or something when you use the promo code BrianGolf. That's Brian Golf, Brian with a Y, at pindgolf.com. Thank you all so much. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you next time.